Good morning and welcome to Main Street United Methodist Church this morning. We want to extend a very special welcome to all of you that are visiting with us this morning. We want you to know that you are always welcome here at Main Street. And at this time, I want each of you to take a look to your right and take a look to your left. And if that person is a visitor, I want you to reach over and welcome them. If you don't know if they're a visitor, it's time you got to know that person anyway. So just reach over and say hello to them and welcome them to Main Street. A reminder that this evening, we've got a lot going on in the life of the church this week. And beginning this afternoon, we have our first of our training series for our Safe Sanctuaries policy. A reminder that everyone that will be working with children and youth, whether or not you're volunteering in the nursery, whether or not you're teaching Sunday school, if you are a chaperone on youth trips, anyone that will be working with children and youth are required to attend one of these training sessions. And all parents with children in the church programs are encouraged to attend one, as well as grandparents and anyone else that would like to attend. The first of those is this afternoon at 5 o'clock in the fellowship hall. There will be a second training session, and you don't have to attend all three, just one of the three. There will be a second training session this Wednesday at 6 o'clock, and then the third will be the following Wednesday at 7:30. But anyone that is going to be working with children must attend one of those sessions, and we strongly encourage all parents to attend one of those. The first this afternoon at 5 o'clock. Secondly, the Main Streeters are reminded that you have a program tomorrow at 11:15. The speaker for that will be Kelly McWhorter, who is the new director of our new Regional Tourism and Visitors Bureau. She will be providing a PowerPoint presentation on some of the new things that are happening in Greenwood. And then following that presentation, the church buses will take everyone for lunch at the Ranch House. That will be Dutch Treat. So if you are planning on attending, please call the church office and let them know that. Also, this Saturday, the Bible class will be conducting their annual rummage sale. That begins at 8 o'clock Saturday morning. If you have anything that you would like to contribute to that rummage sale, you can leave it on the stage in the fellowship hall. And again, that's this Saturday at 8 o'clock in the morning. Also, you'll see in your bulletin, there's an insert today for the talent show and dessert auction, which is being sponsored by the Main Street Youth. That is next Sunday evening at 6:30. Proceeds from that will go for their Salkehatchie trip. We are looking for individuals that would be willing to bake a dessert for that auction, for the dessert auction, as well as talent. Now, there's a lot of talent out here in this congregation, and we would like for you to volunteer to be part of the talent show next Sunday evening. We'll take any kind of talent, singing, playing musical instruments, a comedy routine, and don't get offended if you get up and sing and we mistake it for a comedy routine. We want any type of talent, so if you are interested in either talent or providing a dessert for that, please contact Jack Carmody and let him know that. Now let us prepare our hearts for worship.
Thank you. Please stand and join me in our call to worship. God is my shepherd, I shall not want. You spread a table before me in the presence of those who trouble me. You have anointed my head with oil, and my cup is running over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
I ask you to join me in the invocation as found in your bulletin.
Today, O God, we rejoice to join with those in heaven and the millions around the world who join in worshiping you to sing the songs of the ages that declare our faith, to pray and praise with the saints of all time, inspired by your Holy Spirit, to honor Christ, who is King of Kings and Lord of the Church, who is alive forevermore. Amen. As we approach our prayer time, I'd like to lift up a few people in a special way. Albert Gambrell, who's recovering from a procedure. Karen Dent and her ongoing treatments. Mike Williams, who was here this morning and looking well. Gail Bagley, Bill White's sister-in-law. Ann Drake, who will have some surgery in Charleston on Tuesday. Jim Kelly, who is recovering from back surgery at home. Goldie Davis, who is still in the hospital. Mac Bond, recovering from surgery on Friday. Buck Lawson, at home, doing well, recovering. And Elliser Holder, recovering from back surgery also. Many of you have asked about my parents. They're doing okay, sort of holding their own. And I appreciate your concerns. I also want to ask you to pray for the Salkehatchie Summer Service Camp in Greenwood. That's July 7 through 14. We are just now getting our registrations. We depend upon teenagers to get those registrations in on time, between 14 and 21, young people, and they're not in yet. We need about 60 people. We have 12, and we would like you to pray for success. I've already dreamed that we had a big camp and it went well, so I hope it's a prophetic dream. But let us pray for our Salkehatchie camp, the success and the outreach here in Greenwood, and also for a proposed pastor's meeting of all the Christian churches in Greenwood. Here at Main Street, we've invited all the pastors about a meeting concerning the drug problem that we have in our community. The drug problem, and to share with the sheriff and to share with the mayor and whatever officials who will come, and they have expressed interest, here to sort of a summit meeting, what the churches can do to assist in combating the drug problem of Greenwood. And I hope you'll be in prayer that we'll get responses from those letters that have gone out this past week, and that we have some fruit from that effort. Let us together go to God in prayer. Holy Father, living Lord, guiding Spirit, we come hoping this time, this worship service, will be different. We come hoping to meet you, to hear you, to feel your presence, and to worship you in spirit and in truth. Often we confess our mind wanders and our hearts are too cynical or too afraid to really believe that you were in Christ making peace by the blood of your cross. It all seems so long ago, so removed from our everyday experience. We often leave here untouched, unconvinced, unconvicted, unchanged. Touch us today, Lord. Comfort us today, Lord. Give us a larger vision of your love for us and for others. Give us a larger vision of your claim upon our lives. We are yours. Help us hear what you would have us do, in Jesus' name. Lord, we do pray for the leaders of the nations of this world, that they be open to the influence of your Spirit. We do pray for all those who are caught up in chaos and war and doubt and hunger. For those who are afflicted by walls of cynicism and sin, and Lord, for ourselves and our private prayers, we now lift these before you in the silence of our hearts. Lord, hear our prayers. Hear them, for we pray in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. We pray as he taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We have children's time today with Myra Schaefer. I ask the children to please come forward.
Today, if you'll come this way, because
it came to my attention that the big kids that are up there can't see, and they feel that now. So we're going to put it up here so the big kids up there can watch. Is that okay with you?
Okay. We're going to talk about how you know who somebody is. You can tell sometimes by what they put on, right? So if I put this on Sunday morning, I am a member of the what? The choir, and you know that, right? Okay. If I, on Saturday, do something that a whole bunch of people go to see, and I put on this, what am I? A Clemson football player. That's really good. Okay, if I ride in on a horse, And I put on this, what am I? A cowboy. Boy, y'all are smart. If I am out to fight evil and I put on this, I'm a ninja turtle. That's right. All right. And if I want to help people and I put on one of these, what am I? A nurse. It's not hard to tell, right? Okay. But if I want everybody to know that I'm a Christian, what do I put on? Now, I could put on one of these, but does this tell people I'm a Christian? And it wouldn't fit either, would it? And, come here, can you hold this for me? I need my hands. If I put on one of these, do you think people will think I'm a Christian? No, they'll just think I had a real bad day at the hairdresser's, wouldn't they? Okay, and I can put on one of these. Does this say I'm a Christian? No, what does it say? Narrator. That's somebody that tells stories, doesn't it? And I've looked and looked. There is absolutely nothing in my basket that I can put on that will tell everybody I'm a Christian. You know why? Because it doesn't matter what you put on. It doesn't matter what you wear. The way people can tell if you're a Christian is if you do things that the disciples or Christ would have done. Everybody knew who the disciples were because why? They followed who? Jesus. They walked around with him. So if we walk around and we do things that Jesus tells us to do, like what? What do we need to do that Jesus tells us to do? Come on, guys. How about coming back? Spread his word. Yeah. Pray. How about if we help the needy? Didn't Jesus want to help the needy? If we do things and we're nice to people, if we're mean and ugly and talk about people and have a bad attitude all the time, will people know that we're Christians? No. We need to be happy and fun and go out and help people and all those kinds of things. And then we don't need a badge or a hat or a uniform or anything. People will just know that we're Christians. Okay? Let's have a little prayer. Can you pray with me? Lord, please help us to live our lives every day so that people will know that we are Christians. Thank you. See you later.
I do thank you, Myra. Myra does such a good job. It makes me look bad in comparison. I was thinking how some people, they read things into my messages and they are offended. And I started thinking, Myra was saying it doesn't matter what you wear. It matters if you smile and are happy and help people and radiate Christ. And I'm wearing a collar and a robe and a stole to make sure you know I'm the preacher, because I'm not smiling that much and I'm not that fun. But you can tell. And on the inside, trust me. I do want to, before we pass the piece, tell you that we do have at the exit today, if you go out this way, Bill Tunstall has about 50 of these posters for the Christian comedian nationally known Charles Marshall, who will be coming Thursday, May 24th at 7 p.m. It is free. Child care is available. There will be door prizes and such. Please take one of these if you have a public bulletin board or a business where you can put them. We want the entire community to come because we have spent the entire evangelism yearly budget to have him come. Now let us pass the peace.
Our Old Testament reading this morning comes from the book of Psalms. I'll be reading the 23rd Psalm, and I will be reading from the New Revised Standard Version, which is the same translation that's in your pew Bible. So if you would like to follow along, it's on page 617 of the Old Testament. A Psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
If God called to you, would you hear? Would you feel his presence drawing near? In the hush of dawn, when your life has a new start, you may hear his call if you listen.
Our epistle reading comes from Revelation, the 7th chapter, verses 9 through 17. And again, if you would like to follow along in your pew Bibles, it's on page 303 of the New Testament. After this I looked, and there was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, robed in white with palm branches in their hands. They cried out in a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God who is seated on the throne, and to the Lamb." And all the angels stood around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. And they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, singing, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these, robed in white, and where have they come from?" I said to him, "Sir, you are the one that knows." Then he said to me, "These are they who have come out of the great ordeal. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. For this reason they are before the throne of God and worship him day and night within his temple. And the one who is seated on the throne will shelter them. They will hunger no more and thirst no more. The sun will not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of the water of life, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let us continue our worship now through the giving of our offerings, our tithes, our special gifts.
Thank you.
Hear now the gospel reading from the Gospel of John, 10th chapter, 22, verse 22 through 33. At that time, the festival of the dedication took place in Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." And Jesus answered, "I have told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name testify to me, but you do not believe, because you do not belong to my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. What my Father has given me is greater than all else, and no one can snatch it out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." The Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus replied, "I've shown you many good works from the Father. For which of these are you going to stone me?" The Jews answered, "It is not for a good work that we are going to stone you, but for blasphemy, because you, though only a human being, are making yourself God." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us affirm our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. We never properly list or state all of our prayer concerns, and during the silent prayer time, I was reminded that we do need to be in prayer for Carol Scurry and also for Louise Arnold, who has fallen and broken her wrist and has breathing problems, and for Lorraine Stockman's sister, Diane, who is undergoing treatments. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I do try usually to begin with some bit of humor or levity, and I don't have any today. It is a serious sermon, and I hope one that you will ponder deeply, because it speaks to the essence of our faith and who Jesus is. But first, a magazine article years ago, TV journalist Ted Koppel made some negative comments about modern-day heroes. He said, "We are creating a lot of false idols in this society." He said, "It troubles me about our society. There have been cultures, and perhaps there still are somewhere in the world, in which philosophers and poets and teachers are the stars of the civilization." And then he concludes, "But look at who the stars of our civilization are." I think back just a few weeks, until voices united and rose up and said, "No, TV almost made a sort of a star out of the madman who killed 32 random students at Virginia Tech. He was becoming a star." And one of the most popular TV shows today takes unknowns and gives them a chance to become the next American Idol. From nothing,
And often for nothing noteworthy, we create idols and we look up to them until they fall or fall out of fashion. Another thing you may have seen on TV recently, and I read about in the Biblical Archaeological Review, the earliest Christian church has been found in Jerusalem. Not spread far afield, but in Jerusalem. Contrary to some recent fiction, it confirms that before Constantine, before councils and controversies had opportunity to change the earliest teachings, the church taught what it has always taught from the beginning about Jesus. When you have seen Jesus, you have seen the Father. The Father and Jesus are one. That is what it says in this earliest church in the Mosaic 4 from the late 2nd or early 3rd century. It says very plainly, Jesus Christ is God. As strange as it seems, as strange as it sounds, we have taught that and fleshed that out, to make a pun. And it almost got Jesus stoned to death in today's passage. That early church was found on prison ground as they dug to expand. And you may remember, if you read the story or saw it on TV, where the church was. Some people find it ominous. It was in Megiddo, from which we get Armageddon. It says in the Mosaic, written in stone, dedicated to the God, Jesus Christ. It is what the church has always taught. But when Jesus said, the Father and I are one, Jesus was violating the strictest of teachings in all of Judaism. The Shema is taught as the very first theological statement to all Jews everywhere. It is Shema Israel Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad. In South Carolina, that translates, listen up, Israel. The God we know is God, and God is one. And there ain't no others. That's a loose translation. The reason the Shema is taught first and said often is that having another God, or even believing in the possibility of any God beside the one God, was idolatry and falling away from Jewish faith. And so they thought Jesus blasphemed. They thought he, a mere man, was making himself God. And for such an absolute offense, he should die. Idolatry and blasphemy, they cry. We think very highly of the nature and character and teaching of Jesus. But does something honestly well up with a sort of an offense within us when we hear him say, the Father and I are one, or a sort of a dissonance or a sort of a question? Or when he says to Philip in John 14, when Philip says, Jesus, show us the Father. And Jesus, I imagine, shaking his head, says, Philip, have I been with you all this time and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? I want you to forgive a true observation, though not politically correct to say, but it helps us understand where we are. Islam, coming centuries after Christianity and millennia after Judaism, is a faith that plays off both Judaism and Christianity in many ways. And one way is strict monotheism, but even more volatile in defending it. The Quran states that Christians do not worship one God. It mistakenly relates that Jesus taught to worship God, himself, and to worship his mother Mary. That's not right. The roots of the reasons for the rocks being picked up in this passage still play out as a reason that Christians are looked upon suspiciously by Islam and by Judaism. Because we speak of a triune God, Father, Son, and Spirit. And when we speak thusly, we confuse not only outsiders, but some in the pews as well. Some folks say we should think and let think on this issue. I am not sure that we can do that. I am not sure that we can do that within the church. The church has spoken on this matter of faith, and it is crucially important to grasp, if not understand, and I don't pretend to completely understand it. But I do think it's okay for God to be bigger than my brain. That's okay. I'm not sure that we are free to pick and choose about Jesus being God in flesh. That is what we sing about and celebrate at Christmas. The incarnation is merely another word for God coming to us in flesh, first as a babe in a feeding trough in a barn in Bethlehem, of all places. We hear that theologically spelled out in the beginning of the Gospel of John, where it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and that Word, which was God, became flesh and dwelt among us." I will grant you that when you lay it out so plainly, I can see how others cannot see that we do indeed believe in one Creator God, manifest as Father and Son and Spirit. Now, I want to quote from C.S. Lewis. It's a long quote, but he is more brilliant than I will ever be. And hear how he puts it. Lewis writes, "Considering Jesus, there is no halfway house, and there is no parallel to other religions. If you go to Buddha and ask him, 'Are you some sort of Brahma?' he will say, 'My son, you are still in the veil of illusion.' If you go to Socrates and ask, 'Are you Zeus?' he will laugh at you. If you go to Muhammad and ask, 'Are you Allah?' he would first rent his clothing, then cut off your head." Lewis continues, "The idea of a great moral teacher saying what Christ said is out of the question. The only person who can say that sort of thing is either God or a complete lunatic suffering from that form of delusion which undermines the whole mind of man." Lewis continues, "He was never regarded as a mere moral teacher. He did not produce that effect on any of the people who actually met him. He produced mainly three effects: hatred, terror, or adoration. There is no trace of people expressing mild approval." Now, this part's me. It worries me a little that we in the modern day church, tend to express mild approval for Jesus. Maybe we have not thought deeply enough about what we say and what we sing and proclaim. Mild approval is not appropriate for the Creator God coming in flesh and dying for our sins. That is an underreaction. And even that is an understatement. Again, from Lewis, if you will indulge me. "Jesus told people that their sins were forgiven. This makes sense only if he really was the God whose laws are broken and whose love is wounded in every sin. Saying that he's a great moral teacher is the one thing we must never say. A man who said the sort of things Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic or else the devil. Now, you can shut him up for a fool, or you can spit at him and kill him as a demon, or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. But let us not come with any patronizing nonsense about his being a great human teacher. He has not left that open to us. He did not intend to." Salvation history is clear about two things. Number one, humans, all without exception, are naturally self-centered and not God-centered as we were meant to be. And we're not especially other people-centered either, as we were meant to be. And so there are lies and there are betrayals and there are wars, etc., in every epoch of history all over the face of this earth. We are sinners, not what God intended. And as sinners, we cannot save ourselves from the judgment of sin nor the fact of death. Number two, it descends from the first point. Only God can save us from ourselves and from our selfishness. And this is important. Only God can restore us to our right minds and to the love and the righteousness we were made for, and open our eyes so we can see and value and love our forgiven selves, and even love our sinner neighbors. If all that is true, And I can say history and politics and treaties and me bear out that the sin part is true. If all that is true, then only God can change the situation and only God can change me. And so it becomes very important to our faith to understand who God is. As the mosaic in the floor at Megiddo said, dedicated to the God, Jesus Christ. Christians are those dedicated to the same God, the one made known in Jesus Christ, the one who came to us and loved our enemies as well. Do not dare leave. Do not dare leave out the second part. Loved our enemies as well. If we do, then we make Jesus into some strange sort of idol. He is not our Jesus. He is the world's Jesus, the world's God, the one who is. And as Savior, the offer is for whomsoever will come, and the atonement was offered to all. 1 John 2nd chapter says, and He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. We want to make Jesus our own little God, but Jesus is the one big God. And remember, God sent the Son into the world not to condemn the world, and it's not our jobs to echo any condemnation. That's not what Jesus came for, and that's not our job. Jesus came not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through them, through Him. Yes, faith is necessary. The sheep that belong to me listen to my voice, it says in today's lesson. This directly parallels the relationship between Jesus and His Father. Jesus is both God and man, and He is one with the Father, and the members of His flock are one with Him. He's in intimate union with the Father, and the members of His flock are supposed to be in intimate union with Him. He was raised from His crucifixion death by the Father, and we will be raised as His flock to life eternal. Of course, faith is necessary. And faith is about relationship and growth and doing God's will, and that means change. It means change. Because without faith, we do not do God's will, and we really don't want to. After faith, we will still sin. But we will grow through the influence and the power of the Holy Spirit over time. We grow ever closer to the life that Jesus lived, understanding how much God loves sinners, loves me as a sinner, and loves you as a sinner, and even those so-and-sos over there we don't like to associate with. You are God's concern. Jesus proves it. And your enemy is also God's concern. Jesus proves it. We may not trust other people. We may not like other people. We may even sometimes have to defend ourselves against other people. But there are no other people who are not offered love, forgiveness, and grace by God in Christ. We may not hate anyone at any time for any reason and call ourselves a follower of Jesus Christ. That is very clear. Jesus, who did not even hate, but prayed for those who nailed Him to a cross. Jesus did not come to judge. Judgment was already on our heads, so to speak. Sin and death were already reigning in the world when He came, and still echo down through the centuries and through our lives. The final victory belongs to the only one who could win for us. The final victory belongs to God in Christ. Now, my closing illustration is going to date me horribly. It's about comedian Red Skelton, and I can only imagine that the young people here are going to be thinking of Halloween in some sort of a red costume with a skeleton. I don't know what they're thinking of, but Red Skelton was a good comedian years ago. And those of you, 30 and under, just take my word for it. Well, he once was directed to an airport celebrity lounge as he waited between flights. And photographers and reporters grouped around him, snapping pictures and asking questions. And Skelton told the reporters he was on his way to speak to a college audience on the topic of religion. Then he said,
During a recent question and answer session, a student asked me, "Why can't I find God?" And Red Skelton told him that you can't find God for the same reason a thief can't find a policeman. You're not looking for him. I then suggested that the student every morning should do this. This sounds trite, but it's not bad. He said, write the word good. He told the student, write the word good on a blackboard or a piece of paper in your room every morning. Then go out and do something for someone expecting nothing in return, because that is what the love of God is like. It'll help you understand who God is. Expect nothing in return, and nothing is zero, I told him. So you go home and you scratch a O out of the word good, and you'll find God. As he was leaving, the man he talked to and told the story shook his hand and said, "Have a good morning, sir." Skelton glanced at his watch and said, "Well, it's almost noon," and so it is, and replied, "It's too late for a good morning. Have a good life." It is important to know what a good thing God has done for us in Jesus Christ. What a huge thing God has done for us, the Creator God coming in flesh. That, when we understand it or even begin to comprehend the minuscule part of the truth of it, that becomes the catalyst for our doing what little we can in His name. God's light, it says in the Gospel of John, came into the darkness, and this world could not comprehend it and could not put it out. We as Christians are the afterglow of that great event. Empowered by God's Spirit, always pictured in classical art, God's Spirit by light and the flames at Pentecost. We are the afterglow of the light of God coming into our darkness in Jesus Christ. Remember who Jesus is. Remember who you are. Act accordingly. Amen.
receive this blessing? The blessing of the full knowledge of the love of God the Father, the grace and forgiveness from God the Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and the blessing of the comfort and the guidance and the wisdom and the presence of the Holy Spirit, even in this moment. You have been blessed. Be a blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.